Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Girls, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You are dialed into the number one sports talk show in the nation between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We do this thing we call The Balance every Saturday morning. You can hear us right here. And then, of course, our encore episodes across the nation, but of course, on Indiana Talks between 1 and 3 or on iTunes. 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to me throughout this show. Myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, are going to be breaking down all of the news this past week, but we're going to be really focusing in on the NFL and training camp of the NFL. We've got we got stuff for you. As well. So join me now is that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. How we doing, sir?
Doing good, brother. Got my coffee. What else can you ask for on a Saturday morning?
I could ask that you actually did it on time today, so we give you your props. No sad second,
exactly.
First thing. Well, I tell you what, Kevin, we've got a packed show for you today. Kyle Gimble's going to be our guest here in a few moments. Grand Am racer. Certainly, we saw him out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway last week in the Continental Tire Series. And he's certainly also races out in the Rolex Series, and he's out in California getting up early out there on the West Coast to give us a call in this morning. So we'll be talking to him. Phil B. Wilson from the Indianapolis Star going to be joining us. Going to be breaking down the Colts camp. Man, the Colts got some injuries going on. We're going to get into that and certainly what the outlook is for no number 12 in the Indianapolis Colts going forward in the 2014 season. Do we have a Super Bowl? Let's hope so. And we were going to talk with Jeff Kurtz from Bear Claw. He's going to be talking with us about the Chicago Bears. We're still going to be talking some Chicago Bears, but Jeff had something come up. He's not going to be able to join us today. He's going to make that up to us. He promised. So we're going to hold him to that. And then at close about 10:15 or so in the second hour, we're going to be having Ed Kratz, a good friend of the show from Calkins Media, calling in from Philadelphia, going to be talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and the NFC training camp. That's what you talk about, brother.
Let's do it. So I got an Eagles hat on, actually.
Got the Eagles hat on, actually. You know, I've got my redneck camo hat on today. You know, I typically wear my St. Louis Cardinals thing. But you know what? Hey, I'm going redneck today. 917-889.
Come to my side.
Come to your side. Come to the dark side. 917-889-8516 of the digits. You want to get to myself or the redneck for Philly, Kevin Chapman. You know, normally this would be where we would take a break. but we have to get into this news. Unfortunately, as you may have heard, Paul George of the Indiana Pacers ends his season. Well, at least it appears. It's not official, but certainly can't imagine him coming back from this. In a USA basketball scrimmage out in Las Vegas, the Team USA showcase came to a really unfortunate end in the scrimmage, and Coach K, he said, you know, we're done with this. It reminds me a lot of the NCAA Final Four, if you remember the kid from Louisville that broke his leg and cut his leg open before Paul didn't open his leg, but he did get a compound fracture in the fourth quarter, and, of course, the game was called off after that. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers do go out to Paul George, as it appears our franchise player for the Indiana Pacers is done, in fact, for the season. So Larry Bird certainly has some last-minute things that he's going to have to do to replace Paul George, Kevin.
Well, and now, you know, at one point the Lance Stephenson trade was looked like it could hurt us, but we still looked okay. Now, I mean, you got to add the Lance Stephenson trade, the Turner off. Now we lost Paul George. I mean, Pacers season, unless Larry Bird can pull out some magic and everybody else really steps up, I don't see a run at the playoffs right now.
Well, it's going to be tough. It's very early, so we want to, you know, not lose focus of Paul George. But one thing that I do want to talk about while we've got a few moments here, while we're waiting on Kyle Gimble to give us a call, a few things I want to talk about is the things we've talked about in racing and so forth. Is this off-season type play? And, of course, we're talking about Team USA. I mean, we could see both sides of the coin here. Maybe we could look at both sides of those real quickly here. But if Paul George had not have been playing off-season basketball, Paul George would be back for the Indiana Pacers. However, if he had not gotten hurt, we may not have been having this conversation. Not that I'm opposed to players playing in their off-season, but maybe we need to focus in on the fact that there are people paying millions of dollars for these franchise players, and that's exactly what we did. Larry Bird issued a statement. We are aware of the injury sustained by Paul George at Friday night's Team USA game in Las Vegas, and we are obviously greatly concerned at this time. Our thoughts and prayers are with Paul. We are still gathering details, and we'll have an updated statement on Saturday. And then just after midnight, Commissioner Adam Silver released a statement on behalf of the league in George's injury. It was difficult to watch the injury that Paul George sustained tonight while representing his country. The thoughts and prayers of all of us at the NBA are with Paul and his family. And I guess that's my point. Do we really need to have a Team USA? Real quickly, Kevin, what are your thoughts on Paul George playing in the off season?
Well, and we've talked about, like you said, with other people, with other sports, you know, with spring going and dipping in the Nationwide and all that. And I personally have an issue with this type of thing. I understand, like you said, Team USA and everything else, and I'm all for the, you know, anything with Team USA. But yeah, the same token, there were some players that sat out for that, this exact reason. They said, look, I'm not going to go to Team USA and risk injury and put my next season in jeopardy. So, you know, I see both sides personally. You know, why don't we go to non-professionals like we did at one time for Team USA? It was all college players. And should we risk college players? Maybe not that either. But, you know, risking a guy that's being paid $30, $40 million for Team USA, I don't know.
Certainly a kick in the gut to the Indiana Pacers, a gut kick that we did not need here in Indianapolis. So we'll keep our eyes on the whole Paul George situation going on with the Indiana Pacers. Unfortunate, but it does look like that in fact that Paul George is out for the season. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers do go to Paul George as he recovers, and we certainly hope that it's a quick recovery, if you will. My name is Saul Mark Wessel, President. Today we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get ready to talk with Kyle Gimble right from the Balance Radio Network.
This is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Mark Wassell, Presidente. Thanks to all of our affiliates all across the United States, Indiana Talks, you're listening to us on our encore episode right now between 1 and 3 p.m. Well, we're standing by for Kyle Gimble, who's going to be joining us and talking with us a little bit about his recent races. Certainly a talented young man who has really taking a lot in racing, and Kyle Gimble racing, and we're going to get into a conversation with him. Hopefully, he'll be calling in on time. So we're going to go off schedule just a little bit here, Kevin, but we're going to talk a little bit about IndyCar and just to kind of fill in some time. Of course, IndyCar out at Mid-Ohio, certainly a good course for IndyCar. It's a road course, and it's out there in Mid-Ohio. Fun track to be at, and the IndyCar, it's kind of like a track inside of a park, so we'll see what happens out there today, this weekend, with IndyCar and Mid-Ohio.
Well, you got them there, y'all. Then we got Pocono going on, so it's a good rake weekend. See, I can't talk this week like you couldn't last week.
That's right. You know, we just rotate that each week. but yeah, IndyCar's out at, I thought you were going to say something else there, Kevin. So,
no, go ahead, brother.
You know, IndyCar's out there at the Mid-Ohio race, certainly, the Grand Prix of Mid-Ohio, and we right now is the Indy Lights race that is going on as well. Elio Castroneves says the Verizon Series championship will take care of itself, and he's not sweating it. He's not sweating it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you're an IndyCar, you should. Yeah, exactly. You should. If you are, trying to win a championship, that's what you should. I don't even know where I was going with that. Certainly August 3rd, that's tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Mid-Ohio. Great road course out there in Mid-Ohio and just outside of Columbus. Today, practice from 10 a.m. to 10:45. qualifications for round one, group one, 2 p.m. to 2:10 p.m. qualifications, round one, group two, 2:20 to 2:30 qualifications, round two, 2:40 to 2:50 qualifications, round three, 3 to 3:10 p.m. out there in Mid-Ohio. And final practice tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 10:30, and then the big race out at Mid-Ohio, 3:45 to 5:45. It's a 2.258-mile, 13-turn natural terrain course, and offers a little bit of everything. It has some elevation changes, some speed corners, some flowing corners, tight corners, very narrow, really about 40 feet racing ribbon, and really a challenging entry into pit lane. So it should be a good race out there as well. Well, joining us now from out in California, getting up early, Mr. Kyle Gimbel. Kyle, how are you doing? Welcome back to The Balance, sir.
Doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Good. I appreciate you jumping on board with us. And, you know, I know you were here, I believe you were here last weekend for the Brickyard in the Continental Tire Series, certainly a good race. Whenever you go back to Indianapolis and you race in Indianapolis there, that's a special place to race. Well, certainly I know you're out there in California, so we'll get to that in just a moment. But as you were racing in the Continental Tire race last weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, what are your thoughts when you race out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
You know, it's always historic racing out there. You had F1 there for many years. You have IndyCar there for the Indy 500 and now the Indy Grand Prix, and you also have NASCAR for the Brickyard 400. So whenever you go to the Brickyard, it's always historic. It's a fun track to race on too, you know, a lot of good competition.
Well, we're talking with Kyle Gimbel, a very, very talented young man, been on the show here before. Also joining us is Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. Now, Kyle, I know you're out there in California, and also, by the way, I understand that you also got a win out in Pocono this year. Is that correct?
It was actually out in Watkins Glen.
Oh, I am so sorry. I had my notes wrong. I apologize. Watkins Glen. Well, congratulations on your win at Watkins Glen. Well, that's another good course. Certainly, if you're going to win somewhere, Watkins Glen is another one of those great tracks to win. What were your thoughts? Walk us through that, and when you got to the win there, wow, how incredible was it to be in victory lane at Watkins Glen?
Yeah, it was really fantastic. You know, last year we came really close. We got second. We had the lead on the last lap, so coming into this year, we basically vowed that we were going to get that top step and came down to a fuel mileage race, and my co-driver, Ryan Everly, was able to save just enough fuel for us to outrun the other top three competitors, and we were able to get away with the win. Getting a win in Watkins is just fantastic. It's a really fun track. I really like that track. It's very fast, flowing, and you really got to have the car under you in order to be fast there.
Well, we congratulations on your win. Kevin, do you have any questions for Kyle Gimbel?
Well, you know, Kyle, I'm newly into the open wheel and Grand Prix, and all as Tom knows, I've been mainly following NASCAR growing up, but the one thing that's always intrigued me is about with the racing you're in, swapping of the drivers like that. You know, can you kind of walk through that as far as for somebody like myself that might not know a lot about that? You know, you're in the car, you're driving like that, you swap out. I mean, how hard is it to find somebody that could fit seat-wise and everything else where you don't have to do a lot of adjustments when you're swapping out drivers?
Yeah, the driver pairing is really, it's really key to try to get two drivers that have somewhat similar driving styles that make setting in the car up easier. We have generic race seats in our sports cars. So the only thing that we really do is just slide the seat for different heights. Luckily for me and Ryan Evesley, we're about the same height. So when we do drive swaps, we don't have to adjust the belts. We just slide the seat back, get in, buckle up and slide the seat forward. But the biggest thing is just trying to figure out, trying to find
basically two drivers that are close to the same driving style, so they'd like the car to be set up the same, which is great for me and Brian and Mike. We like the drivers. We like the car set up the same, and makes it a lot easier. I know there are some pairings out there where the starting driver who has to qualify the car doesn't have the same driving style as the driver that finishes the car, so they kind of get the short end of the stick on setup. They just kind of have to drive through it because you want the car to be set up really for the finishing driver, since they usually do most of the race. We have a mandated minimum drive time for each driver in order to get championship points, and for IMSA this year that is 45 minutes for the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge Series, which has been bumped up 15 minutes from last year, which is great for a lot of gentleman drivers. It's more seat time, and it also changes the strategy for all the teams this year, since you have to go longer to get points than you did last year.
Now, talk with us a little bit about what you've got going on this weekend. Now, I know that you are you based in California, or is that just your home? Or you're from Nevada, aren't you?
Yeah, I was born in California, moved to Nevada in 2004.
Okay.
We have, we've got Road America this week. Should be fun. Another great track, really long, a lot of long straightaways. It's basically drag strips and with corners. So our Honda should be good. I know the Porsche came in. It's going to be really strong again this upcoming weekend. So we'll have to contend with that.
Well, we're talking with Kyle Gimbel, certainly a very talented young driver who we've watched really in 2013, finished second in the 2013 ST Championship, co-driving with Brian Eversley for Compass 360. Four ST podium finishes in 2013, including second at Watkins Glen. As we know, you already have a podium here this year as well. So, Kyle Gimbel, we really, really appreciate you joining us. And you know, I love these road courses, and I was watching as you guys were out here in Indianapolis, and we'll talk about Indianapolis a little bit just because that's my home track, if you will, here in Indianapolis. But it is such a phenomenal feat. Of course, all the history and tradition that's behind the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as an oval, but such a phenomenal feat to turn that oval into a road course and then back into an oval just literally overnight. But when you race at a road course out there in Indianapolis, how's that different perhaps maybe than racing at Watkins Glen, which is a natural road course, or a course like Indianapolis Motor Speedway that's been adjusted and modified?
It's pretty different compared to like a natural terrain road course like Watkins. You don't have the elevation changes that you have at, say, Watkins Glen or Mid-Ohio. So it's pretty flat, and the infield at Indy has been repaved, so there's more grip than there was last year, but it's still pretty slick, and it's hard on tires. It's always great to be able to go to road courses that are integrated into ovals. Daytona is one really good example with the Rolex 24. That's always a fun track to go to. You know, high speeds entering turn one and the bus stop. So it's always nice to go to those road courses for a change of pace than, you know, say, a natural terrain road course.
Well, we're talking with Kyle Gimbel, Grand Am Racer, certainly part. He races the Honda Civic. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart there. It's too early in the morning. It's way early for you. He also races in the IMSA Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge. And certainly, we saw him last weekend out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I know we've got you for a very limited time today, Kyle, and I really thank you for getting up early and giving us a call this morning on our national radio show. But what I want to always ask our drivers is there anything you want to talk with us us about that we haven't talked with you about. We want to hear really about anything that you'd like to share with us regarding you and your Honda Civic team.
Yeah, my Compass 360 team is really, really strong. We always put together a really good car. We haven't had the best of luck this season, which sucks because we've shown really good speed and potential, and we were working back our way back into the championship, and we go into Indy, and Indy really hasn't been too kind to us this year. This past 2 years, actually, lost an axle last year, and our transmission decided to be stuck in fourth gear for about 2 hours of the race. So Indy wasn't really kind to us. It dropped us back in the championship a little bit points-wise. We're about 54 points out of first. So we're going to go into Road America and try and make up those points. And we have VIR after that, Circuit America in Texas and Road Atlanta at the end for Petit Le Mans. So we're going to try to go in, get as many points back as we can, and try to at least get in the top three in the championship again. But we'll see how it goes. I know our Compass team is going to put together a strong Honda Civic Si every weekend, and me and Ryan are going to go out there, and we're going to drive our butts off in every race and try to get as many points as we can.
Well, we're certainly going to be rooting for you back here in Indianapolis. Kevin, I'll yield the final question to you for Kyle Gimbel.
Well, Kyle, first off, thank you again for coming on. But one of the questions is, Tom and I have talked about this when it comes to other sports. When you do things like a Rolex 24-hour and all, you have drivers coming from, for lack of better terms, other series, other styles of racing. Drivers like you that primarily, that's your bread and butter, that's your style of driving. How do you guys feel when you've got all the other drivers like that coming into an event such as the Rolex 24?
Yeah, having drivers from other series, it really shows how big one of those events are. And I know Jimmy Johnson for quite a few years did the Rolex 24 with a DP team. And nowadays with say NASCAR drivers, they're getting really proficient with road courses. So you don't have very many road course ringers per se, as you used to, say 7 years ago. And most of the other drivers that come in to the Rolex 24 are already doing sports cars over in Europe, say, GT3 cars, and you'll have some that are doing Formula cars. So having other drivers come in from other series really isn't too big of a deal since they're already doing GT style cars. It's nice to have those other drivers from other series come in, because it shows that how big the series is, how popular it is, and how big the race is. If you're having people come from Europe and Asia wanting to run the Rolex 24 or the Sebring 12-hour and wanting to win, so it shows how big and how kind of nostalgic that race is.
And it definitely is. I mean, it is, like you said, a very nostalgic race. It's big. And, I was just curious. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, we've been talking with Kyle Gimbel, racer for the Grand-Am Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge Series in his Honda Civic. And believe me, it is not your Honda you see out at the stoplight. He can make this thing go. Kyle, I appreciate you joining us and getting up early to talk with us. Where can people find your schedules, follow you on Twitter, stalk you on Facebook, what have you?
Yeah, you can go to IMSA.com, and you'll see all the schedules. You'll see all the headlines, broadcasts after the race has been run. Point standings, everything. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Gimbel, and Kyle Gimbel for Facebook. So love to talk with everyone out there and see what everyone's got to say.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate it. You have yourself a good weekend and a safe race out there at Road America.
All right, thanks. Great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle Gimble, race car driver of the Honda Civics in the Continental Tire Racing Series. Thank you so much, Kyle, for joining us. Guys, we've got to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to be jumping into the football talk. It is that time again, baby. Yeah, Philby Wilson of the Indianapolis Star going to be joining us, breaking down Colts camp right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Here we go. New running.
Football. Catch the fever.
The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football. All right, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We have been praying for this day to come when we start talking about football again on the show. It is camp, it is training camp, and the guy embedded in it all is the man, good friend of the show as well, Mr. Philby Wilson of the Indianapolis Star Indy Sports IndyStarSports.com. Philip, how are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
Man, I tell you what, I was all, you know, it's amazing how just life changes your show plans. Had everything all planned out. Of course, then we had the last minute confirmation of Kyle Gimble coming on. But then this morning I get up and I find out, oh, now we got this Paul George issue. So I do want to get into the Indianapolis Colts. But I want to talk with you a little bit about the impact this is going to have on the Indiana Pacers. Paul George going down last night in Vegas. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's on everybody's minds. Paul's I like to refer to Paul as a prince. He's it goes beyond just talent on the floor. I mean, he really has a humble nature to him as a star. He's likable, and he's not that big ego guy. And don't get me wrong, LeBron James has the right to have a big ego. He's the best player in the game, or Kobe Bryant, or Michael Jordan in his day. Paul he just still seems to feel like that everyday guy, even though his skill set's tremendous. And I don't back on point to what you're asking about, I don't know how he could come back and play this next year, even though I know Kevin Ware of Louisville suffered a similar injury right here at Lucas Oil Stadium in the NCAA tournament, and he was back on a court in 6 months. I mean, you almost doubt that you know, he could rush back and play this next season. And if that's the case, you subtract Lance Stevenson, you subtract Paul George, and the Pacers might be hard-pressed to be .500. I mean, you're asking an awful lot. There's still some talent there, and David West is a great leader. But, you know, you can't have Roy Hibbert flipping out and not showing up half the time. You can't have the backcourt, the guards unable to stop dribble penetration and not be able to play good defense. And, you know, without Paul, you miss good outside shooting at times, too. So I hope he comes back. You saw how everybody reacted on Twitter and across the country. You know, even LeBron, Kobe, everybody, Irvin, Magic Johnson. I mean, you know, I didn't see it. I was told it looked like Joe Theismann's injury when the Redskins quarterback got his leg just ripped in pieces. But I hope he comes back as soon as he can, because I frankly enjoy talking to him. I think most people do. He's just a likable guy, and I know some hearts broke last night, not just here in Indianapolis as far as among the fans, but for the guys that play with him.
Well, absolutely, and our thoughts and prayers do go out to you. But as we saw, and we're going to get into this conversation here in just a moment, but as we saw last year with Reggie Wayne, whenever you've got a guy that goes down and gets out for the season, and I agree with you, Phil, I don't see that he's coming back in this season. And you know, it had to have been pretty bad for Coach K to call off the game, and certainly it's a conversation for another show. We talked a little bit about it this morning, but you know, how important is it that we have these off-season games? As good as Team USA is in representing your country, I get that, but maybe that should be reserved for people who aren't your Paul Georges. I don't know. That's a conversation for another day. But we do want to talk about another season-ending injury, and then back, and then making his full recovery. And so we'll start with that, and certainly a lot to digest with the Indianapolis Colts. And we've seen some injuries plague the Indianapolis Colts in training camp. But one guy is back, Reggie Wayne. Talk with us about the Indianapolis Colts, Reggie Wayne, Andrew Luck. What have you seen out there in Anderson this week?
Well, it's just like an old friend, you know. You see him out there, and you know, he looks smooth, and by no means does he go full speed all the time. But when he has to put out the effort, I mean, he's going at it pretty good. It's funny, you know. He had said beforehand he was going to bring boxing gloves to Anderson because he's going to have to fight Chuck Pagano every step of the way to be able to want to do what he wants to do. And Chuck's had the attitude coming in, well, we're going to scale things back, and you guys coming off serious injuries, we're going to ease you back in. When first practice day a week ago or so, he shuts Reggie down about halfway through the practice, says, okay, you've done enough. And so Reggie comes over later and says, well, Chuck won round one. Reggie's been constantly trying to push to do more, and he's proven that he's back. You know, there was a moment after a practice Wednesday. He had both his little boys out there in the field, and his wife, and he was just throwing the football to them. And they had their little '87 Reggie Wayne jerseys on, and it's one of those neat little moments. He's probably 20 yards away from us in the media, but you don't dare walk over and disturb it. You just watch it. And he looked over at me and smiled, and he gave me a nod. And I gave him a nod back. And it was like, at that moment, you felt like all's right in the world. You know, Reggie's here playing with his kids. He's back in uniform. And, you know, God, you hope he can stay healthy, because unfortunately, not that this is the Balance's theme this morning, but unfortunately we've had two terrible injuries already at Colts camp, even with a scaled back routine. And losing Vic Ballard and Donald Thomas, two guys who worked so hard to come back from last year, it breaks your heart to see what happened to them being lost already. So you hope Reggie will be able to hang in there, because he's like Paul George to his team. He's the guy that everybody looks at as a leader, you know, and sets an example, and then everybody else follows, you know. And you don't want to lose your leader. I mean, Andrew Luck probably is a leader too, but even Andrew Luck says, Reggie Wayne, it's Reggie's team. It's Robert Mathis's team. So they're guys that are cornerstones on a team. Those two are it.
We're talking with Phil Wilson of IndyStar.com, certainly the guy who knows probably the foremost expert of the Indianapolis Colts, and certainly author of 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Reggie Wayne really knows how to make an entrance to camp. This year, no different. Ed Carpenter brings him in the IndyCar. What do you know about how that whole idea came about?
Well, I wasn't there for arrival date. Of course, I saw the pictures and stuff, but Reggie had another idea, but he wouldn't tell us what it was because somebody told him he couldn't do it. Reggie's always thinking really creative ideas, you know. And Ed Carpenter's a friend of mine because, as you know, I cover the 500, and I've covered 2,500s.
Sure.
And I did a book signing at a liquor store in Zionsville last spring, and Ed Carpenter came in for the last 2 hours of it, because it was like a grand opening for this Payless liquor store. And Ed Carpenter came in and signed bottles of Fuzzy's Vodka as his primary sponsor in his car. So we've been buddies for a long time. And so I'm guessing Reggie's people, you know, got a hold of him. I don't want anybody to think that they showed up in that Indy car and that they drove around the streets of Anderson in it. I'm sure they put that together in a parking lot area nearby, because that's not a street legal car. Now, as a point of my wife, if the cops did see him, I don't think there's anything he could do. That car can get up to 230 mile an hour, 240 mile an hour if it wants to. So that's what Anderson police are going to have to let go. You know, they just, well, we're not giving that guy, there's no point to even turning the lights on and chasing him. But you know, at some point here, Reggie got a hold of Ed's people, or Reggie's people got a hold of Ed's people, and it was rather, I've told it was a very, very amusing entrance. I saw a video and I from a colleague who shot it, and I saw a couple pictures that were tweeted, and I just kind of smiled and said, that's Reggie. Yeah, Reggie's back in the house.
Well, wouldn't it be something just driving, minding your own business there on 69, headed up toward Anderson, and then you just go right past you in the fast lane, and you'd have to do a double take, and Reggie and Ed just waving at you as you go by. Yeah, that would have been classic. Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com, and also Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Kevin, what do you have for Phil regarding Colts training camp 2014?
Well, you know, two questions come off the top of my mind. First off, what do you think of the scale back? I mean, there's mixed opinions on Pagano's theory of scaling back camp a little bit to try to keep injuries from happening. And obviously, even with that, you can't prevent everything. And then people like, and I know I'm going to mess his name up, Bijan Warner. I don't know how to say his first name, so I'm just going to say Mr. Warner. You know, from what everybody's talked about, his play from the outside is actually, he's one of those that are impressing people in the camp right now.
Well, you've hit on a couple good talking points, to be honest with you. First and foremost, Chuck Pagano told the guys first day they wanted to scale some things back, and I think it was more of a mental thing. He wanted them to concentrate on efficiency and execution and not worry so much about, you know, how physical it was, because they don't hit anyway. I mean, in terms of the lines engage, and that's how Donald Thomas got hurt, but they don't tackle. You don't take shots at people. The old school guys, you know, would tell you these guys are wussies, you know, compared to the way they used to play, because they used to beat the crap out of each other in practice every day and then take it out on the other guys on Sunday. But Gosser Sherless, the right tackle, had a, you know, pretty straightforward debate with Chuck. Gosser said, Chuck, you know, I'm used to getting beat on and kind of getting my mindset right for the grind and the wars, you know, when we start, and this isn't helping me. I want to get nasty in camp a little bit. And Chuck said, no, no, we've got too many bodies that are on the mend, and we've got a chance to do something special with this team. And the decision was made, Chuck and Ryan, that they were going to try and scale it back. And then, you know, two injuries happen. I don't think it's because of the scale back. I'll say that right away. And yet it fuels debate among everybody. I've had so many, every year when somebody goes down, somebody emails or texts me or tweets me, well, it's strength and conditioning. If you saw how hard Vic Ballard worked to get back, how 2 days earlier he told me how he was counting the days for this moment, and how he was so ready to play, and you can't explain why an Achilles would explode after you've rehabilitated your knee for the last year. You know, same Donald Thomas tore his quad for the second straight year. Your quad is right up here on the leg, and I don't know. I mean, just 2 months earlier, Brian Grigson said that he was blown away at how much stronger Donald Thomas was in his lower body, that the injury rehab made him even stronger because he'd worked so hard to come back. And maybe therein lies the key. Maybe the problem is, and I've said this at times in the past, when you can't explain something, when there isn't a clear-cut answer, I've told people, you know, these bodies, they're pushed to the max, and it's not a natural act to play football, so they're going to break. And people will want reasons and why and all that. They're just pushed to the max, and they're going to break. Real quick, the other topic, Bjorn Werner. That's the pronunciation. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Bjorn still complains to me that some of his teammates are idiots and calls him Bjorn Werner with a W. It's Bjorn Werner, like Werner, like the soda, Werner's. The W is a V, but I'm told that's the German pronunciation, the way he would want it pronounced in Germany. Most people, including two of my colleagues, the star, still call him Werner. Mixed results from what I watched. I know people are saying he's doing well, and I would caution everybody to not get too excited about that, only because Robert Mathis is going to say that because he wants you to think that, you know, the young kid's going to play better and he's going to shine and everything's going to be okay while Robert sits out 4 games for suspension. But the fact of the matter is they're in shirts and shorts. They're not tackling. And, yeah, there's some one-on-one drills. And I watched Werner a few times in one-on-one drills just yesterday, just Wednesday. And Anthony Costanzo kicked his butt. All right, Costanzo got a hold of him and shut him down. And I even noticed it enough times where I said something to my colleague, and I said, well, that's why you can't get too caught up in what teammates say when they're trying to praise their fellow teammates. It's almost like you want to say, all right, when the live bullets fly and it really matters, that's when I'm going to be able to judge whether this kid's going to take the next step. Don't get me wrong, I want him to, and they're going to need him to. Because I think as much as I like Eric Walden as an individual, he's probably limited as a football player when it comes to pass rushing on the other side. They need Bjorn Werner to be able to apply pressure. And he started to show some of that potential at the end of last year. You know, he'd had a foot problem and some other injuries that bothered him earlier. So hopefully he takes the next step. The Colts are going to need him to do that. But, you know, Anthony Costanzo certainly has his number at training camp.
Well, certainly one of the numbers that we don't see out there with the Indianapolis Colts, but we did see out at camp, is old number 63, Jeff Saturday. Obviously spent his final years up in Green Bay, but retired from Indianapolis, and we all know Jeff Saturday very well. And I know that he returned to camp in his new gig as an NFL analyst for ESPN. That had to have been pretty cool for the Colts and for Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff took a job with the Colts, but I guess he decided he wanted to move back home and be close to home down in North Carolina, I guess. So he got the gig with ESPN, good for him. You know, he's a all-time super guy. I know when he came up in the press box last year during the game, I turned and I couldn't believe it. He dropped like 70 pounds. I wanted to know what his secret was, because that 70 pounds he lost has always stayed on my body for 20 years, I think, or 15 years. But he looked great. He even rubbed his belly, and well, he doesn't have a belly anymore. He said he rubbed his six-pack and said, yeah, you can wash clothes on it. Look at this, you know. So all-time favorite guy, you know, I think he's on my, you know, in my book, 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I think he made my top five list of all-time great guys. So great to see him. Great for him to be out there. in terms of, you know, slick little radio transitions, you know, we go from Jeff to the center now, the Colts, because that's really one of the biggest concerns on this team. You've lost Donald Thomas at left guard. You hope that Jack Muhort, the second-round pick out of Ohio State, will be able to fill in there, or Lance Lewis, or Joe Wright, or somebody. But right next to him, you got center Khalid Holmes, who could only get on the field for 12 snaps last year. And they said he wasn't ready and he wasn't needed, and they gave all these excuses for why he didn't play at all, even though Samson Satelli was stinking up the joint. So our competence level, and those of us who cover the team, is not extremely high. As much as Holmes has worked hard and improved, or they say he's improved, I don't know. You know, you're going to keep a real close eye on the interior of that Colts line. And, boy, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say, I don't know how many times, you know, last year I watched the game and I said, geez, I wish Jeff Saturday could still play. I wish he was still here, because we took for granted for so long, you know, with 63 under center and 18 behind center, that situation was, we didn't have to worry about anything. We didn't have to worry about a bad snap. Jeff rarely got beat. He always made the right line calls. Peyton Manning made reads more often than not. He was excellent at it. He just took so much for granted, and now we're seeing, maybe not a quarterback, because Luck's doing great, but at center we're seeing the other half of, well, we've been through 2 years of crap, and, gee, we hope Khalid Holmes can be as good as they say he'll be. Because that interior of the offensive line, the Colts, that's a – when we talk again, guys, we're going to talk about this over and over, because I'll be frankly honest, I'm not a fan. I'm a reporter for a living, but I'm nervous, you know, as a reporter, just thinking about it.
Well, we're talking with I agree with you. We're talking with Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com, and author, 100 Things All Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Well, since you're such and I know I'm probably going to honk a lot of people off with this question, but it's going around. It's being talked about. And, you know, we watched Peyton Manning with his family and dancing to Rocky Top. That's great. We still have a love for Peyton Manning and number 18. But we look at the future of the Colts and we look at number 12. Is Andrew Luck a better quarterback than Peyton Manning when it's all said and done?
Not yet. Not yet, but he's on his way. And you know, and that comparison will always be there, even though it's one that neither one of those guys likes and wants to hear about. You know, I've seen stuff written or said before that, you know, how do you follow a legend? Well, you try to be, or that Andrew Luck's not trying to follow a legend, he's just trying to be himself. And that's one of the things, one of the many things I'm a man crush here now. I apologize. One of the many things I've loved about Andrew Luck is his demeanor and how he goes about his business, how he handles himself. Even after a long practice yesterday, Chuck dropped him off on the golf cart at the locker room entrance, and you know he'll say hi to me and be respectful, and then walk over to six people standing there hoping they can get an autograph who are, you know, family members of some other player, and he'll stop, drop his helmet, his pads, and talk to them and sign with them. So Andrew's, and of course Andrew's friends with Peyton, so, you know, I think he's on his way, and the answer I often give to people when they ask me about the comparison is Andrew Luck is the best football player I've ever seen in the first 2 years of his career. And I saw Peyton as a rookie in his second year pro. And Andrew Luck is better has been better in his first 2 years than Peyton was in his first 2 years. So if Andrew keeps working hard, if he keeps improving, there might come a day when, you know, you say, you know, as good or even better. As crazy as that sounds, because believe me, I'm married to a woman who still says every time she sees 18 in Denver, it's just not right. It's not right. Honey, you've got Andrew. I mean, you can't be pining back for Peyton anymore. I mean, it ended up being the right decision, I think, for all parties. But, yeah, but I can't stand seeing him over there in Denver. I know. So if my wife is saying it every time, I'm sure there's thousands of people out there saying the same thing in Colts country. They just, no matter how it's worked out, it still breaks their heart to see Peyton playing somewhere else.
All right, Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly. Final question for Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star on the Indianapolis Colts and training camp.
Well, I mean, looking at training camp and just kind of what you see with the players there and knowing the injuries we have, and you've highlighted a lot of it. I mean, in a realistic thought of the season, not from the fan perspective, but just stepping out and looking at the players and everything else, where do you see the Colts going this year? I mean, do you see them as far as last year, farther? I mean, what do you see with being right there at training camp and being able to look at the players?
Yeah, another question that everyone wants to know. You're hitting on all the points today. I've been asked that a few times already, and as you guys can obviously, you know for yourself, that's a tough one to answer at an early juncture, you know, because you subtract other bodies and all of a sudden, you know, you're not quite sure what they can do. You know, we're reminded quickly of how expectations can change with Paul George's injury. Now all of a sudden you're just hoping the Pacers are 500, make the playoffs if he's not there. So, and then another key injury or two, and the Colts' expectations are going to be, they might be the same, but what's attainable or what's realistic will not be the same. I've predicted 11-5 again. I predicted 11-5 last year, and they hit that. I don't know if they can go farther in the playoffs. Maybe they get to the AFC title game this time. I just don't know if they have everything to get to the Super Bowl. Are they a contender? Sure they are. And somebody would say, well, how can you predict 11-5 again when they've lost two guys already? The running game has question marks because of Trent Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw coming off neck surgery. The interior offensive line has three guys that have not played a whole lot of. Hugh Thornton played a lot of right guard last year, but he's only in his second year. He was inconsistent last year. You got Holmes at center playing really for the first time. You got Muhort maybe starting right out of the box, left guard. You know, and then the defense gave up tons of points in the playoffs last year. They've tried to bolster certain areas, but, you know, the defense has got to be better for them to get to the Super Bowl. So how do I say 11-5? Well, because they didn't have as good a personnel the last 2 years. And Andrew Luck and some of those other guys, Robert Mathis and Reggie Wayne, they got them to 11-5 anyway. So how can Andrew Luck be so good when he gets sacked 75 times in 2 years? I mean, he's a rare talent. And so if you had to pin your hopes on one thing for how this team could succeed, and hopefully Colts fans are thinking, exceed what they did a year ago, you put it at number 12, and you say he's got the best receiving core he's ever had in 3 years. And if those guys click, even without a running game, well, fine, screw it. Andrew, throw it 70% of the time. Let's light up the scoreboard like a pinball machine, and hopefully the defense can keep him under 30 and you win most of the time. That's not classic football, but, you know, in Andrew we trust.
In Andrew we trust. I love it. Phil B. Wilson, IndyStar.com, and certainly author of 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You can find that book online through Barnes & Noble and various other outlets. Phil, anything you want to say about your book or where our listeners can get your book at?
Well, yeah, I appreciate the plug. You know, I haven't done a lot of book signings since last season ended, but I still got some books here at the house, and they're still available online, and I'll probably be out and about during games, maybe pregame and preseason, and I might even bring some to camp you know, they have rules about who can sell what, where. Eddie Anderson, you know, but you know, they're available still. You know, went to print and came out a year ago or last September, and we're coming up on the anniversary. And so, you know, if you're a Colts fan, there's a lot of fun stuff in there, and it's not that bad of a price. I think it's $14.95. So I'm biased because I wrote it, but there's a lot of fun stuff in there and a lot of history. And the comments, the feedback has been great in the last year. So, you know, I was honored to write that book and give it to fans, to put it out there for fans, and didn't get paid a whole lot, and I'm still waiting on that first royalty check. I don't know if that'll ever come, but I, you know, just as a thrill to be able to do something and say, man, I did something for the public. I wrote a book for fans, the Colts fans can appreciate and enjoy, and, you know, I die tomorrow. Hey, I wrote a book, you know, so that's kind of cool.
Phil Wilson, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on Twitter, what have you?
Well, P. Wilson 24 on Twitter. P. Wilson 24 on Twitter. My Facebook is Philip B. Wilson. If you friends request me, and as long as you're not from a third world country and sending me weird ass emails, I'll probably accept it. You know, I get these emails on Facebook. I want to talk. Well, then just talk. But if you're from Thailand or Laos or whatever, I don't think you're asking me football questions. So don't even bother. You know. But as long as you're semi-normal, I've got 4,000 some odd friends on there, and I got an army of 17,500 Twitter followers. So join the fun, and I try and respond to everybody. And you know, I'm the everyday average guy who just happens to rub elbows with the famous people and tell stories for you.
Well, I tell you what, you're an everyday average guy, but we appreciate you taking time to come on an everyday average radio show. Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star joining us, talking with us about the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to get into some more NFL talk. Going to be talking about the Bears. And up in our next segment, we've got Ed Kratz of Calkins Media going to be joining us and talking with us about the NFC and the Philadelphia Eagles and their trip here to Indianapolis. My name's Saul Mark Wassell, Presidente. We'll be right back, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you're pooping, you...
It's time to start.
with me now. Come with me now.
Walk with me now.
Because we're going into our second hour. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. This is The Balance. You're the Minions. And I tell you what, we do this for you. You want to jump in, 917-889-8516. Want to thank our guests we've had so far today. Awesome first hour. Great conversation with Kyle Gimbel, race car driver for the Continental Tire Series, as driving the Honda Civic, and as well as Bill Wilson of the Indianapolis Star and author of 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, talking with us about, well, Reggie Wayne, the Andrew Luck, the Colts, and so forth. But also joining us now, not so much a Colts fan, but hey, he grins and bears it. That redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, welcome to hour number two, sir.
Well, you know what? First off, before you get me jumped by our local followers, it's not that I'm not a Colts fan, right? You're trying to get me set up to get jumped when I go out in public.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
It's not that
Kevin.
I'm a Philly fan, but a Colts follower.
Kevin, 1985 called. They said stop using the word jumped.
Well, you know what? It's true. Especially in Indianapolis lately, you don't know what's going to happen.
You never know. That is true. There's certain parts of town you don't want to go to, that's for sure. But
especially
I guess
Eagles jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you might be safer wearing your Eagles jersey around here than what you would be wearing your Colts jersey or Cowboy jersey in Philly. So, you know, you're probably safer here. Well,
that
you know,
is true.
Good conversation that we had with Phil Wilson and the Indianapolis Colts, and certainly things getting geared up there at camp. But it's, you know, we're not going to have time to get into all of the camp stories, if you will, and all of the ins and outs. Well, we were supposed to on this this segment here, we're going to be talking with Jeff Kurtz of the Chicago Bears, but. He had something come up in the last minute here. He's made that up for us to us. And certainly he's been on the show as well. And he's the author of The Slant, the draft guide as well. So we'll talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears, and certainly Indiana boy, native boy, is their head quarterback in general out there in Chicago. Jeez. Hey, whatever we got is rubbing off on each other, huh? But certainly they're in camp, and we're talking about Jay Cutler leading the charge out there at the in Chicago Bearland in the NFC, and certainly an area that you're somewhat familiar with, Kevin. So as we look at the Chicago Bears moving into the 2014 season, what say you?
Well, you know, there's talk about, and of course, it's coming from a fellow teammate, and like we were just talking about the Colts camp and players talking about the readiness of fellow teammates and all that. You know, you got Marshall, the wide receiver, sitting over there talking about how he thinks Cutler is going to be the MVP of this next coming season and that type of thing. I don't know. The Chicago's are a good team. Cutler's a good quarterback. MVP level, I don't know about that, but Chicago is going to be one of those teams in the NFC. It's going to be a challenge coming to the end of the year.
Well, certainly a lot of people look at Jay Cutler being an MVP candidate, and so we'll see how that pans out. He's going to have to get past one Andrew Luck or one Peyton Manning. Or there's a lot of people that are on that slate, if you will. So we'll see how the Chicago Bears do. Certainly, you know, and also I want to take some time now to talk about our fantasy league. We're getting all that geared up. So if you want to be in the balance Fantasy Football League again this year, let us know, because we're going to be having a team. We've only got a limited capacity left and open. We've only got a few open slots for this year's Balanced Fantasy Football. So if you want to do that, get in touch with us. You could do that through social media, Twitter, Facebook, or email me directly, and we'll get you set up. So I want to talk a little bit about Ray Rice. And Commissioner Goodell and his suspension, I guess, of two games. Let's talk about this, guys. I tell you what, he beat a woman. Let's call it what it is. Ray Rice hit a woman, and in a lot of ways, I think that penalty should be a lot more severe than two games. I mean, you got to look at a huge fan base with the. And I understand the legalities of it and, you know, the difference between, you know, drug use or, you know, the different steroid uses and stuff like that, the banned substances. But there has to be, if you put your hands on a woman there and you knock them out in an elevator, for God's sake, it's not like you guys were just in a verbal argument. Ray Rice, you need to be out for the season. Sit on your ass and look at what you gave up.
And I agree 100%. I mean, for Goodell, and there's a lot of people actually saying that Goodell might need to think about resigning. And with a decision like he just made, I'm not going to argue that fact. But you got a guy that knocks your woman out in the elevator. He gets two games. You got a guy that, well, you know, as Wayne said, he didn't investigate, not Wayne. My goodness. He's from the Colts. Help me, brother. Tom.
Are you there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Go ahead. I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. it's like we were saying. You've got players, you know, you have somebody like, takes a fertility drug. And, yeah, he should have done more investigation. He could have Googled it and found out in 2 seconds that it would have popped and he would have been suspended. But you know what? He suspended four games for trying to have a child. And then you've got a guy who knocks a woman out of the elevator, and Goodell's going to say, well, you know, the NFL rules specifically say this is what we have to do for drugs. Granted, I understand that. And you know, it is what it is for there. But how can you say, well, it's black and white on drugs, but yet you're going to say, well, because it's not black and white on knocking a woman out, I'm only going to suspend him for two games. I don't know where Goodell's head is. He needs to put, well, I know where it's at. And he needs to pull it out of there and see some sunshine. Rice, I agree. 100%. Sit out the season. Think about what you did and maybe come back next year.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. You know, I don't know that we need to call for Roger Goodell's suspension per se, because he's the commissioner and he has to really supervise the rules within a rules. As Roger Goodell said recently in a statement, our policy is clear. We have a very firm policy that domestic violence is not acceptable here at the NFL, and there will be consequences for that. Well, the consequences should be stiffer. The penalty should be harder.
Yeah.
If you're getting paid that kind of money and you're a role model to children, and we've talked about it here on this show several times. It all starts at home. And if at home our children are seeing the likes of Rice knock out women in the elevator, it does not send a very clear signal to our youth. So the clear signal would be, one, you go to jail. I don't even know if he got arrested for this. Two, you're out. You're done, at least for a season. And fine the entire – in other words, you ain't getting paid this season either. You're not getting paid that large NFL money to sit at home. This has got to be a real punishment. And so certainly, you know, I know that the rules are what it is. But Roger Goodell, I think he's got a lot of authority to do a lot of things. and he did not do it this time. 917-889-8516. We're standing by for Ed Kratz from Calkins Media. Going to be joining us. Going to be talking about your Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Kevin, and as they get ready for the 2014 season. What are your thoughts as we wait on Ed?
You know as well as anybody, you know better than anybody, I am stoked for the season. Chip Kelly's, they're faster than they were last year. Nick Foles, from everybody that is talking about all the various training camps, ESPN, everything else, they're saying that Nick Foles is even better than he was last year. We just picked up Sproles from the Saints. DeSean Jackson, did it suck that he went to an opposing team like the Redskins? Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of that, but I don't think you're going to see a step back at all because of losing DeSean from Philadelphia. If anything, I look at it forward, and we've talked about the atmosphere. If you're a great player, be great. Keep your mouth shut. And don't bring your other teammates down. And we talked with this, Ed, before. You know, last year, there were several players that just didn't come to the voluntary training camp because, well, DeSean's not, and we're not going to either. This year, 100% of the Eagles are there. So I think it's going to be we're going to be a better team, not only physical-wise, but I think mentally Philadelphia is going to be a much better team and work better as a team than we ever did last year.
I'm losing my voice. I absolutely agree with you. We're standing by, waiting for Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. We got a football game this weekend, boys. That's right. We've got the Hall of Fame game coming at you from Canton, Ohio. It doesn't mean anything, but it is a ball game. It is a ball game that is on television on Sunday. And so certainly it's going to be, and certainly it's a good opportunity to talk about, the 2014 Hall of Fame class as well. We look at Ray Flattery, Lynn Ford, and Jim Taylor, I believe, are the inductees in the 2014 Hall of Fame class. So as we look at this Hall of Fame game, Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Like you said, it's one of those games. It's not I won't say meaningless game, but there's not a lot of meaning behind it either. But how can you argue the fact that we're going to be seeing on television people in helmet and pads hitting each other? Brother, just like I had on Facebook with the squirrel with his hands up, it's football season. Amen.
Squirrel!
And, hey, squirrel! But, I can't wait for the game. Just for the simple fact to me, that game highlights, boys, it's football time.
It's football time, and I'll tell you what, it's good to, I think it's the Giants and the Bills, it's good to sit at home on Sunday night and watch yourself some football as well. Let's talk a little bit also about Tony Dungy. We didn't really get an opportunity to talk about all this when it came out, but we're coming into football season. I support Tony Dungy 100%. If he did not, of course, we're talking, so much up fire and so much fire was going on about Tony Dungy's comments, and that's really all they were. They were comments, and I cannot, but the society that we're in today, a man cannot give his opinion on something. I guess maybe we should bring this up to speed. Tony Dungy made a comment that he would not draft. I don't have the exact quote, but he would not draft a gay player because it was too much of a distraction. Maybe that's the word for it.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. There's a lot of reasons I wouldn't draft a gay player. Talking about Michael Sam, he talked about. Michael Vick even came to Tony Dungy's side. Well, as he should, but.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I guess that's you know, we were talking about Rice, and look at what happened to Michael Vick. Not that dogfighting is right, it's wrong. He went to jail, he did his time. But Rice beats up a woman, knocks him out in the elevator, and he gets 2 games? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on.
I agree. And that's, you know, like you said, people that call for Goodell to stop being conditional, is that a little too drastic? Probably. But at the same time, Goodell really needs to look at it and say, okay, I'm restricted. And he really is. You know, you got to come to his side, which I'm not, but when you look at his side of it, he's restricted. He has certain guidelines he has to follow. That's just the nature of being the commissioner. It is what it is, for lack of better terms. But that's where, as a commissioner, you need to say, okay, at this moment, this is all I could do, because at the present time, this is what I'm restricted to under my guidelines. However, my guidelines suck, and we need to change this immediately.
Well,
that's where I fall in right now, because I don't see that happening.
Well, if we could get Roger Goodell to resign, the guy that's going to step up and take his place is on the line with us now, Ed Kratz. Ed Kratz, good friend of the show of Calkins Media, a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, is joining us to talk with us a little bit about camp and the Eagles and the NFC, and certainly about their trip coming up here to Indianapolis. So the next commissioner of the NFL, no, Ed Kratz. How you doing,
hey,
buddy?
Thanks. Hey, I'd love to have Goodell's salary, but I'm not sure I'd like to have his headaches now.
We'll get into the Eagles here in just a moment. We'll let you jump into this conversation. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, because we were just talking about Rice and Baltimore, and he knocks out his woman in the elevator, gets 2 games. In my opinion, I know that Goodell is limited in what he can do, and I know a lot of people are calling for his resignation, but that's not going to happen. But the thing is, the rules need to change. The policies need to change. You know very well, certainly by covering Michael Vick, he did his time. He was out for a while. He was in jail. All of this because of dogfighting, which is not right, don't get me wrong. But when you knock your woman out in an elevator, you should see the back of a police car, you should see a jail cell, and you should sit your ass with no pay at home for an entire year.
Absolutely. I mean, and look, there were no charges filed against Rice either. The police didn't press charges, which, you know, I think Goodell's using that as sort of a guideline, too, in making his determination that Rice only gets suspended 2 games. But, you know, the problem I have is Goodell is saying that, you know, there were no previous incidents of any of this domestic abuse, so... You know, he has these guidelines in place, which I came into the tail of the end of the conversation and heard someone say that his guidelines suck, or his previous sentences in these matters aren't very good. But you know, he got the 2 games, and because there were no previous incidents of domestic abuse. But you know, you have a video of him dragging his wife, or then girlfriend, now wife, out of the elevator. And you know, Goodell was impressed that Rice took responsibility for his actions. I mean, but how can you not take responsibility for your actions when you're on video dragging your wife out of the elevator who's unconscious? How many times do you have to hit your woman, your wife, before, you know, to say there's no past incidences? I mean, what, do you have to hit her 2 times, 3 times to have a history? I mean, 1 time should be enough, and Ray Rice should be suspended for much longer than 2 games, in my opinion. I don't care what his previous guidelines were. And listen, if you look at his previous guidelines, if you look at Ben Roethlisberger years ago when he was charged with, alleged assault or attempted assault and rape of a woman, he was suspended for 6 games, appealed, and Goodell lowered the suspension to 4. So, you know, there's a previous incident. Now, I know Roethlisberger was charged and Rice wasn't, But, you know, you have a previous incident there with Roethlisberger. You could have suspended Ray Rice for six games.
Well, absolutely.
You need to be charged when it's on video. I mean, that's the thing for me. It's on video. You don't need a charge to have proof. Right.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a lawyer, but all I can say is I think that the reason why they said they didn't charge is they didn't see the event happen. She didn't press charges. Of course she didn't press charges. She's a victim of domestic violence. They don't press charges. And if you think for 1 minute, this is the first time that's ever happened, I'm sorry. Believe me, I'm divorced. I've had bad relationships. I get it. I understand how tempers can fly. But I can tell you one thing. You don't just go from being mad in an elevator and knock her out. There has been, you don't just go there. That's not the first thing you do. There's been a history of domestic violence with him for a while, and it's behind doors, and she's scared the crap. He scared the crap out of her, and one, about the money, and two, hey, you know, you do it again. You know, I don't know what he said to her, but you know that she's not standing by her man out of love. And you know.
That's a great point.
So, Tom, really. We digress, I guess, but let's get back on point. Go ahead.
They're all good points, and this whole topic really has me a little fired up because, you know, I do not condone in any shape, you know, way, shape, or form hitting a woman, you know, and I know that, you know, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN was suspended, you know, for saying that, you know, you got to blame women if they provoke something. I completely disagree. I don't think in any circumstance, even if a woman would hit a man, that a man should respond by you know, hitting a woman. I mean, that to me is just an indefensible, cowardice act, and, you know, it really touches a chord with me. And I think Roger Goodell, he should be ashamed of the punishment that he doled out in this situation, really.
I could not agree with you more. We're talking with Ed Kratz, Calkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. I feel like I'm the guy about to get jumped here.
You are.
I'm in a lone world all by myself. Nobody here to defend me. But let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and certainly Michael Vick. We were just talking about Michael Vick, but he's no longer a part of the Eagles. But certainly, as we look at Michael Vick moving over to crap, brain fart, wherever
he is. New York Jets.
Jets, that's right it was. New York was in my mind. I was like, I know he ain't taking Eli's job, although Eli might deserve to lose his job after last year. But the Jets, absolutely. And so real quickly, Ed, when you look at Michael Vick over at the Jets competing for that starting position, who gets it?
Well, he already kind of conceded that he's not going to start. That job's going with Geno Smith. And, you know, Geno Smith will be the starting quarterback in New York. And, you know, Michael Vick's already come out and said that, and I think Rex Ryan has too, to an extent, that this is Geno Smith's job. And, you know, Vick will be the backup, and, you know, it's tough for an NFL quarterback to make it through 16 games, so you're going to need a good number two. And, you know, Vick is at that point in his career right now where, you know, he is a good number two quarterback. And if he needs to come in, if Geno gets injured or something unfortunate happens there, he can step in and do an adequate job and do a good job filling in. But, you know, his history with injuries isn't the greatest either. So, you know, he said the other day he wants to play until he's 40. You know, we'll see if that works out. I think being a number two quarterback, you certainly could because you're not putting the wear and tear on your body. But, you know, Geno's the quarterback. Michael will be the number two. And, you know, if Geno can't make through 16 games, we'll see Vic in the starter's role again or at least the backup role at some point during the season. So that's where it stands, and I don't expect that to change even through August.
Well, let's talk about those Philadelphia Eagles. They're in camp, and as we know, the Eagles don't even play Dallas until Thanksgiving, but it's going. The talk is going. LeSean McCoy has proclaimed ownership of Dallas. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, LeSean McCoy likes to talk. You know, he certainly, you know, loves to fill up a reporter's tape recorder. With a lot of words and stuff like that. You know, a few years ago, it was I guess it was OCU Manure who he called soft and played like a girl and this and that when OCU was in New York with the Giants. And, you know, look, LeSean McCoy's a headache for a lot of teams. You know, that guy's the reigning rushing leader in the NFL. He won the rushing title last year, and he also – had the most yards from scrimmage of any running back last year. And I would expect, you know, LeSean McCoy to continue on that path the way Chip Kelly runs this offense. So, you know, McCoy can talk a lot because he can back it up. You know, it's not the only argument. He's had no Sean Moreno. He got on no Sean Moreno when he was in Denver before they went out to Denver last year. Now, Denver waxed the Eagles in that game. But, you know, he called Sean Moreno, you know, that he wasn't a very good back, that he doesn't belong in the NFL. And, you know, LeSean speaks his mind. He's not afraid to. And I think he can do that because he can walk the walk and or talk the talk and walk the walk. You know, he's the best running back, in my opinion, in the NFL right now, bar none, and that's even, you know, Adrian Peterson, too. I think LeSean McCoy is a more complete back. He's a very good blocker, and he's a heck of a pass receiver. It would be an upset to me if he doesn't lead the league again in at least yards from scrimmage.
Well, we look at Chip Kelly going into his second season as a head coach and out there at Philadelphia. And last year we were talking about, okay, how's he going to do? And I would say we definitely give him a passing grade, a B or higher. I don't know that he earned an A, but I think he was far better than mediocre. So what kind of grade would you give Chip Kelly in the 2013 season and what you've seen in camp with him in 2014? Obviously, he's a tough coach. He knows his team, and he expects a lot out of his players. But hopefully in return for expecting so much, you guys will be playing deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I asked Chip Kelly that in his season-ending press conference back in January, what kind of grade would he give himself? And his answer was a percentage, which was, I don't remember the exact percentage, but they won 10 games out of 17. So whatever that percentage divided out to, he said, I'd give myself a 66.7% or whatever that percentage is. I said, well, how did you arrive at that? And he said, because we won 10 out of 17 games. So, you know, that's his grade. They won 10 out of 17, whatever that percentage is. But, you know, to put it in a more of a layman's term, I would probably give him a B+. I think Chip Kelly did a good job learning on the fly in the beginning of the season. You know, there were some interesting decisions that he made. The San Diego Chargers game comes to mind in the second week of the season when, you know, the Eagles defense was still trying to find itself, was not playing well, could not stop the Chargers. And, you know, Chip Kelly's offense took the ball with the lead and went right down and kicked a field goal. Took very little time off the clock. The Chargers got the ball back and scored a touchdown and won by 3 points. So, you know, I think Chip would have, had he had it to do over again, I think that he would have slowed the tempo down a little bit, thrown a little more running plays in instead of passing and moving the ball down the field with that last possession to try to take some more time off the clock. But, you know, the point is that Chip learned on the fly, I think, and I think by the end of the season, he had a good grasp of how to coach this team. And I would probably give him a B+. And, you know, he's ahead of what I thought the bar would be for this team. I thought last year they might win 6 or 7 games. They won 10. They won the NFC East. So, in my opinion, they're a little bit ahead of schedule. I think they're the clear-cut favorite to win the NFC East again this year. It doesn't mean they will win more than 10 games. But I just think the NFC East doesn't have the type of talent that can compete with the Eagles. So I would expect another division title, and I think Chip, you know, year two of understanding the NFL, understanding other teams, understanding the travel involved, you know, I think he's going to do a better coaching job. But again, whether that translates into more wins, we'll see. They have a tougher schedule, but, you know, I think Chip Kelly's a terrific coach, you know, who has, if he stays in the NFL, I think he has a terrific future. You've heard him compared, Peter King from Sports Illustrated, compared him to Jimmy Johnson, the former Cowboys coach. Who won a couple Super Bowls. You know, that's a pretty, you know, heady comparison right there. And, you know, Urban Meyer, the Ohio State head coach, was in camp for a few days, and he went to the Big Ten Media Day in Chicago and raved about spending time with Chip Kelly in camp and called it a game changer and how Kelly's always pushing the envelope in the way he practices and you know, the way he does things off the field with his sports science. And Urban Meyer wants to duplicate a lot of what Chip Kelly is doing. So, you know, Kelly, to me, is an innovator. He's the right guy at the right time for the NFL, especially now the NFL officials are talking about calling more pass interference, more holding, and that can only serve an offensive mind like Chip Kelly well, because now the offenses are going to be even more prolific, and that plays right into Kelly's hands. So certainly he's a coach to keep an eye on, and the Eagles are a team to watch.
Well, we're talking with Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I'm glad it was a national guy that made that comparison to Jimmy Johnson and Chip Kelly, because no local media would ever compare any coach in Philadelphia to any coach in Dallas. So not if they value their life or their job, I guess. Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly. What are your thoughts here with for Ed on the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, I agree with what Ed was saying as far as if we don't win the NFC East, it's going to be a failure of a season. There's absolutely no reason we should not. You know, everybody's saying, well, Deshaun went to Washington, and now RG3 got Deshaun Jackson. Well, he still doesn't have the rest of the team. So we should, without any doubt, be the clear favorite for that. Now, in camp, what are you seeing for, and I'm glad you brought up the point of, you know, he learned on the fly last year with coaching in the NFL. Coaching college in the NFL, that's two totally different natures of the beast. And like you said, the San Diego call was a perfect example of that probably would have worked in college, but it's not going to work in the NFL against a team like San Diego. But looking at the training camp this year, looking at our additions with Sproles and everything else, are we, from what I've read, they say Foles and everybody else, they were farther advanced than we were last year. Are you seeing that as well, or is that just media hype that the Eagles are farther in training camp and working better than they did last year?
Well, no, that's not hype at all. I mean, I think it's just kind of logical that in year two of the head coach, his second year now, the players all know what to expect. They know when they wake up in the morning exactly what that day's routine is going to be because they've been through it. They understand the terminology of what Chip is trying to get across. And, you know, if you ever watch the Eagles practice, if you ever have an opportunity to watch them practice, they just get so much work done. And it's just mind-numbing to watch the different personnel groups that get shuffled in and out, and the pace of the practice is so upbeat. There's no standing around. You know, I watched Andy Reid's camps for a number of years, and there's a lot of standing around, a lot of different, times they stop the play and they review it and they go over it. Not with Chip Kelly. If a play doesn't work, they just get on to the next play, and they just keep running different players and different groupings in and off the field. They're so efficient when they practice. It's almost scary to watch. I mean, it's just, I don't understand how they do it. It's so choreographed. And it's so efficient. It's just really, it's mind-numbing. So, yeah, absolutely, they're ahead of where they were in year one. They're further ahead. They have, you mentioned Darren Sproles. He's been a terrific addition. To watch him practice, it's fun because, he's a short guy, and you see him standing next to all these really tall linemen, and you think, how has that guy survived, 8 years in the NFL? But he's so fast. He's like a little water bug out there to watch. I mean, I'm just really excited to see, exactly what Chip has in mind for him. But I think, with LeSean McCoy and him, in the backfield catching balls in space, and, that's something the Eagles have worked on a lot this year, which I've noticed they didn't work on at all last year, is the wheel routes with the running backs coming out of the backfield, and, how that forces defenses to put a linebacker on a running back coming out of the backfield on a wheel route. And with McCoy and Sproles, that's just an entire mismatch for a defense, and that's what Chip tries to do, is he tries to get these mismatches and exploit them, to score points and to move the ball, and that's going to be a real handful with McCoy and Sproles in the passing game, coming out of the backfield on those wheel routes. So let's see a linebacker match up with that, and let's see what kind of success they have. So they're way ahead of where they were last year, no doubt.
Well, from with mentioning those two, and everybody always talks about when you get two top players, and they're both great players. How is that all? How are they going to work together? Did you see anything that could possibly say that there's going to be, and I know I'm not going to use the right word, but for lack of a better term, issues with McCoy and Sproles when it comes down to game time of, hey, I'm not getting the ball enough. This guy's getting it more than me. Do you see that with the way they're working together?
No, not at all. I think there's sort of an expectation from the fans that you're going to see a lot of McCoy and Sproles on the field at the same time, but I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. They're both running backs. Chip is adamant in calling Sproles a running back, not a wide receiver. But I would expect that There's no issues. I know LeSean McCoy wants to win a Super Bowl as badly as anybody in an Eagles uniform, and you know, he'll get his carries. You know, he carried the ball an awful lot last year. He's still young, but we all know the shelf life of a running back in the NFL is very short. So if he's able to, you know, be able to maybe not have the ball maybe 10 fewer times a game in the run game or 5 fewer times and give Sproles those carries or put Sproles on the field to work in the passing game, I think that'll just make McCoy a more effective back in the long run. It'll keep him fresher and maybe healthier and allow him to extend his career. And like I said, I think he wants to win a Super Bowl more than any of these Eagles do, and I think he'd be fine no matter how many times Sproles comes in to take his place.
Well, we're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for Calkins Media and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're talking about the Eagles in training camp and getting ready for the 2014 season. Certainly the Eagles played a 3-4 and a 4-3 defense last year. And your defensive coordinator, Ed, Billy Davis, it reminds me a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think a lot of people have made that comparison as well. What will help in that transition or the fusion, I guess, of flavors of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia? It resembles a lot of a Pittsburgh type defense when you look at it. What are some of the things that Billy Davis is working on your defense that has to be a key component in 2014?
Well, you know, there's the key right there is the defense. And, you know, last year they played well. They seemed to gel. But, you know, Davis ran sort of a hybrid type of defense with a lot of 4-3 principles and 3-4. You know, he went to the 3-4 on occasion. But, you know, the Eagles didn't have the personnel to play the 3-4 when Chip Kelly inherited the team. And I'm not so sure they really do, you know, they really did anything about that. You know, to me, the big question mark is at that outside linebacker with Trent Cole and Brandon Graham. To me, they just cannot cover a receiver the way Billy Davis would like. So I think what you really have to watch is the development of this the kid they picked in the first round from Louisville, Marcus Smith. If he can develop and he can understand how the NFL game is played and the speed of it and remain physical, you know, I think he may end up being the starter at that spot before the end of the season, if not sooner, just because I think Marcus Smith is the type of guy that can cover a receiver or a back or somebody coming out of that backfield. And that's really what – to play more of a 3-4, which I think is what Billy Davis wants to ultimately do. You need a linebacker like that. And to me, Trent Cole is not the answer there. I don't think Brandon Graham is either. I've seen him get beat a couple times in camp when he's down in coverage on a tight end, whereas Marcus Smith seems to play a pretty good pass drop. Now, whether or not he can rush the passer when the defense calls for him to rush, I'm not sure yet. He seems to have some speed on the outside, but I don't think he can do a bull rush type of a situation. I'm not sure of his inside pass rush move, which, you know, Trent Cole is very good at. But, you know, to compare it to the Steelers, I mean, I think eventually – Billy Davis wants to have that type of a defense where you're playing a 3-4 and your linebackers are, you know, very, very aggressive, very active in both the cover game and the rush game. But they're just not there yet. You know, then the pass rush to me is still a question mark. You know, they were kind of middle of the pack in quarterback sacks last year. And, you know, they didn't sign anybody on the free agent market. They said there really wasn't anybody they were interested in to put pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, that's why they drafted Marcus Smith, is I think they hope that he can develop and become that guy that can rush and can cover. And then you'll start seeing more 3-4, and then you'll start seeing maybe even more like a Steelers type of a defense. But right now I think it's still kind of a work in progress, that defense. And, you know, like I said, they played well middle to the end of the year last year, and I just think they're hoping to kind of pick up where they left off. They forced a lot of turnovers last year, which is something they hadn't done in the previous 2 years. You know, Brandon Boykin is the cornerback slot. He had 6 interceptions last year, which is tremendous. A guy who's really looked good in camp has been the newcomer from Miami. They signed as a free agent, Nolan Carroll. He really has shown up, made plays, always around the ball. He's challenging for a starting cornerback spot with Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher, the 2 starters last year. So, you know, I think in lieu of the pass rush, I think they're going to try to play a little more press coverage with their corners, to give those defensive linemen and linebackers maybe a half a second to a second longer to try to get to that quarterback and maybe put pressure on that way. Because to me, their secondary looks markedly better than it did last year.
Well, and I'm really excited to see how that defense comes together because, you know, there's so much going on in the offense, and I think your offensive coordinator, Pat Schmurr, really needs to figure out a way to create some really tight chemistry between Foles and Matthews and Sproles and Huff, and of course, the new backup quarterback that you guys have for him, Mark Sanchez. Then you throw in McClain in the mixer. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen on that offense, and chemistry is a huge one. So final question for you, because I know we got you for a limited amount of time. What does Pat have to do to get that chemistry going and glue them together?
Well, I think it just comes from, you know, reps and practice. You know, I think, you know, they certainly get enough reps. I mentioned earlier the tempo of practice. Everybody's throwing. Everybody's running. So I think that's where they're building their chemistry is in the practice reps. And, you know, they've had a week now of training camp. And, you know, people forget that Jeremy Maclin, you know, who missed last season with the torn ACL, when Nick Foles was the starting quarterback 2 years ago at the end of the season, him and Maclin had a very good chemistry. He threw to Maclin a lot, you know, at the end of that 2012 season, you know, and then Nick Foles got hurt at the last game and he didn't play that last game. But him and Maclin were, you know, they were pretty dynamic together. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, them getting back on the same page. It shouldn't take long. But, you know, him and Zach Ertz, the tight end, I think Ertz is going to have a bigger role this year. He's going to be on the field more. You know, he missed a lot of camp last year because Stanford doesn't allow you know, it's players to attend camps until a class graduates. So Ertz missed some time. I think Ertz is going to – him and Foles already have that chemistry. Sproles and Foles, they're working on that. Of course, Foles and McCoy have that chemistry. Foles and Riley Cooper had that chemistry. Riley Cooper had a career season last year because of Nick Foles. So I think there's some chemistry already in place. And you know, the practice time is what – you know, is being used to build that chemistry with newcomers like Darren Sproles and, you know, to an extent, Jeremy Maclin after missing last year. And Jordan Matthews, certainly, you know, everybody's raving about him, and he has really looked good, you know, out of a slot they're using him. And another guy they're using out of a slot, which is surprising, is Brad Smith, you know, a former longtime member of the New York Jets who, you know, ran a lot of Wildcat offense for them as a quarterback when he was in New York. So, Brad Smith has looked really good coming out of the slot. In fact, he's getting the number one reps in the slot at the moment, and Matthews is getting the number two reps. So, you know, Foles is building chemistry with those two guys, and it's coming in practice. And, of course, you know, the preseason gets underway Friday when they go out to Chicago, and, you know, that'll be another stepping stone in the chemistry building and seeing where this defense is. And, you know, as they go through the preseason, that'll keep up. And, you know, of course, Andrew Luck and those Colts are going to be a big test for that defense, and we're going to see – you know, exactly, you know, how much it's improved or not, you know, on that Monday night game in September when the Eagles visit Indianapolis. I mean, Andrew Colt's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And,
yeah!
Yeah, boy. So they're gonna be – that'll be a really good test for the Eagles. They open against the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And listen, if they don't win that game, there's going to be some panic here in Philadelphia.
I'll tell you what, if they do win that game, it's going to be the other way around. It's going to be some panic here in Indianapolis. We are so excited about, Ed, you coming here to our town, and we're going to, you know, have dinner and have a good time with you. And Kevin says you're going to bring him an autographed cheerleader calendar, so.
How well the cheerleader's gelling, because that's important.
Give us the cheerleaders. Tell us about that. Talk to us about the tickle fights and the pillow fights that they have during cheerleader practice out there.
you know, guys, give me too much credit. I wish I had that kind of, you know, that kind of clout to deliver a cheerleader to Indianapolis for you. But, you know, I just, you know, I'm just an ink-stained wretch, really, is what I am. So.
all right. Ed Kratz, beat writer for Calkins Media and the Philadelphia Eagles. Ed, we're looking forward to you being here in Indianapolis. But real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media, what have you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at KRACZE. And the website, the best one would be www.theintel.com. with two L's, .com, and you can put a / Eagles, and you can read all about the Eagles. And hopefully you will. If not now, maybe when the Eagles are getting ready to head out to Indianapolis in September, you'll check out the preview stuff. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm looking forward to hanging with you guys. It should be a fun couple days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Ed, you have yourself a good and safe weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. You too. See ya.
All righty. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and Calkins Media. My name's Saul Mark Lassell, Presidente, myself, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We'll be right back right after this, because it's going to be time for the iPod Shuffle right around the corner on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Shut up!
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
All right, come with us now. I'll tell you what, it's that time of the week. My name is Saul Mark Wessel, Presidente, myself and that redneck from Philly. We take a few moments, and you know what, we don't really necessarily, it should be sports, but really we open up the conversation to anything. We just cover a whole wide of topics, if you will, and we call it the iPod Shuffle.
My baby loving 'cause the sun is shining. She's my sweet little thing.
right, iPod shuffle underway. Myself and that redneck from Philly. All right, Kevin, are you ready? We got about 5 minutes for the iPod shuffle, and you know, hopefully we could get it all in. Certainly, we talked. What in the world was that, dude?
I'm getting my coffee pot. That's my Keurig.
Oh, your Keurig. Your Keurig.
My Keurig.
Your
Keurig.
Your Keurig coffee pot.
That's right.
Well, certainly we
actually,
talked about.
I don't know if I'd say that on air. That's like a free advertisement. They should pay me.
That's right. We should. We need to get on that. We need to get our advertising department on that. Certainly we talked about Paul George and certainly his season end, and you know, it's just going to kick in the gut again for the Indiana Pacers, and you know, we'll monitor that situation. But as Phil B. Wilson said, you know, he doesn't look for him to return this season, and I totally agree with that. And so it's kind of one of those things, Kevin, that just happens in the world of sports. That's for sure. Well, also, talk a little bit about, you know, being done with the game, if you will. And I don't know if you saw this, but Dustin Johnson, certainly a PGA tour guy, has been tested positive for cocaine, according to a report on golf.com. Citing a source at golf.com reported that Johnson has failed 3 drug tests, two for cocaine in 2014 and 12, and 1 for marijuana. So, you know, well, maybe he needs cocaine to stay awake in the game of golf. I don't know. But come on. I don't get it.
Too much. 3 times. What? First off, where was your brain the first time? But after that, I mean, come on. I know it fries some brain cells, but dude, figure this out.
Oh, I'm with you. Get some help.
Yeah, he needs help.
Needs help. We all need help.
We all need help at times, brother.
I need some help. I tell you what, I need all kinds of help. We're still talking about LeBron James. You know, he's leaving Miami. He's going up to Cleveland. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that. Did you know that we saw history in the Brickyard?
We saw history at the Brickyard. That's right.
We saw history.
We saw history. Remember, my buddy Jason Hammer posted something on his Facebook after the race where they were wearing some guy was wearing all decked out in a Jeff Gordon shirt, hat, cap, everything. Jeff Gordon flag wrapped around him. Said, "We are number six. Really?
That was alcohol.
Maybe you're not a Jeff Gordon fan after all. But even before LeBron James said that he would be going to the Cleveland Cavaliers, in case you didn't know, Dwayne Wade said he could tell his teammate and friend would not be returning back to the Miami Heat. So, Wade, that's okay. Wade is not complaining, I'm sure, because it is now his team as well. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, no, well, that's what I was saying. Wade's not going to argue. This is now the Wade show in Miami, so he's okay with it. And we talked about it halfway through the season, that it was in the writing that he was doing too many things with Cleveland in the background for him not to be going home.
Kevin, I'm sorry. My mic cut out. Go ahead. What did you say?
I was saying that, you know, we talked about it about halfway through the NBA season on our show before that. It was in the writing of LeBron going back there. There was too many trips back to Cleveland. There's with his wife, him, you know, wearing the Johnny Manziel jersey already. There's too much underlining to say that, you know, no one saw this coming. If you paid attention, you knew he was gone.
Well, I tell you what, I saw this coming. I've been seeing the clock go down. We've ran out of time. That's going to do it. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. That redneck from Philly from Kevin Chapman. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a great show. Make sure you catch our encore performance on Indiana Talks between 1 and 3. Kevin, you have yourself a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Kevin Chapman, Redneck from Philly. My name is Saul Marcus, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.